Yes.
No problem whatsoever. And as Pastor said, you take as long or as short as you care to.
You want to get out of here by one?
Well.
I never talked that long. That's the way. Anyhow, I want to thank you as a church for accepting us, you know, as we just walked in one day and got greeted by probably 75% of you, plus the pastors. Amen. You know, awful friendly church. We've, like Pastor said, we've been to mission field, we've been pastoring various churches around, and so we're not just kids. We are past retirement age, but this is retiring here. You probably met my beautiful wife back there. You can say hi. That's Pat. That's Pat. She's a great help, great influence. Like Pat said, we've only been married 8 years, but she has 7 children. I have 4. So, not living with us. So we just, you know, I like to know, we're 86 years old. So we've been around and enjoyed life. Pat and I met soon after our spouses passed away. That's one of the reasons why we came home from the mission field. As soon as we did, we planned on staying a few more years, but my wife found out she had Hep C, which is incurable, no matter what you said, and died in 2009. Pat's husband had a heart attack and died in 2009. But we met up anyhow and had great years together since then. I remember being here back in the early 70s. How many were here back about 1970?
A couple over there. Yeah.
Okay. Reverend Glave. Roy Glave was here at the time. And I was going to Elohim Bible Institute, Castile, and Reverend Glave was one of my instructors. I can't remember the book of the Bible he taught, but he did a good job. But he came to our house one day and asked my wife and I if we'd like to, because we were a little older than some, even when we went to Bible school, want to know if we would be willing to help out at a camp. Did you ever go to camp with Reverend Glave and his family over at Allegheny State Park? Well, we went. We had a great time. And that's how I come to know about this church was through him. Matter of fact, kept following us around, as you might say. I was pastoring a church over on Canandaigua Lake, and Bristol Springs was a place. And a young lady came to the house, wanted to know if we would help her establish. She lived with open closed churches. Ministry of Open and Closed Churches. It was Edith Glave, the daughter of Reverend Glave. And so we helped her with that. They got it going well. They started a good church over there in that area. But that's the background. Pastor said we have gone to Trinidad as missionaries. That was our thrust. Even when we went to Bible school, we were going to go to a mission field, but ended up pastoring churches for a while.
But the Lord still called on us, and we did end up going to Trinidad. My son, some of you younger people might, do you go to Cuba school or which school? I don't know which school you go to from here.
Cuba.
Coach Holmes, you know him?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yes, I do.
That's my son. He just retired. Can you imagine that? Just retired. I should have been a teacher. 27 years and you're done.
Yeah.
But so he'd been interested, wanted to know how things are going here and so forth. But the Bible tells us, and that's what I want to talk about a little bit now. Yeah, we went to Trinidad, and the main reason, as far as I'm concerned, we were with the TEAM, T-E-A-M, the Evangelical Alliance Mission. And their main purpose is to establish Bible-believing churches in, of course, foreign countries. So we applied, we went, we were older than most of the missionaries, but we went anyways. And we had the privilege while we were there of establishing two indigenous churches, self-teaching, self-preaching, self-governing churches.
Amen.
So they're on their own. We never went back to bother them or tell them that we're doing wrong. They already knew that, but anyhow, in the last I heard, they were doing quite well.
Amen.
Reaching the people in Trinidad. So to me, that's what mission is.
Yes, sir.
Not just going there and staying and staying and staying and staying. You go, establish a group of Christians.
Yes, sir.
Establish it even into a Bible-believing church, then go somewhere else. Well, that was my wife and my first wife. That is our intentions was after we left Trinidad, we would go into another area and do it all over again. But it didn't work out. The Lord allowed her to have the Hep C, and that took care of everything. So I began pastoring churches again. I mean, anybody could pastor a church. To you. So, oh, I forgot to mention this. We appreciated that group that came by our house last night and sang.
Yeah.
Yeah. We really enjoyed that. Plus, the fruit basket. Now we've just started getting into that, but we'll go with it.
Amen.
Thank you. Now, a lot of people say, I've never been called to be a missionary. Well, how do you know you're called or not? Do you ever think about that? I like these verses. They're Mark, for instance, Matthew, for instance, where the Lord said, you shall be missionaries unto me, or go out and preach the gospel to those who have never heard. And that's, I guess, is what got my wife and I involved. We had missionary conferences in our home church. Anybody know where Aspen is? Nah, that's smaller than Cuba. It's just south of Binghamton in Shenango County on the Susquehanna River. But anyhow, Bible-believing church, Baptist church, where we were brought up. Matter of fact, my first wife, believe this or not, right after high school, all of 17, the Korean War just started. That was 1950. And I enlisted in the Air Force for 4 years. And lo and behold, I got sent around, never made it to Korea. Anyways, ended up in Syracuse for about my last year, year and a half of my service time. They had a warning station there, controlled the whole northeast. That's when we didn't know whether people were going to come here again or not, you know, all the bombing. But we followed them all the way, get planes, you know, that weren't registered or their numbers weren't called in, and had to send up. So that was our job, to make sure that we sent the right ones up to see what's going on. Anyways, while there, a WAF got, I was a crew chief, a WAF, Women's Air Force, came to, and I was her boss. It was the only time in my life I was her boss after that. But she was a good wife. But she became a very vibrant Christian. She was brought up in a Catholic school, Catholic family, and I did something I wasn't supposed to do. I was born again, but I still married a Catholic. But thank God, prayers of my home church there in Hafton didn't take her long. Well, one Sunday, pastor gave an invitation, and she jumped right out of the pew and was right up front and accepted Christ. And then her thrust, too, after all this after that was, Carl, we ought to become missionaries, you know. We ought to become missionaries. Because we always had missionary speakers in our home church. And that's how we got started in this. Even though I was older when I went to Bible school, she was, of course, too. But we did it. And we said we went to Trinidad. We established two churches there, Bible-believing churches, which I understand are still going well. So we praise the Lord for that. Yeah, I was 17 when I enlisted in the Air Force. Right out of high school, you know, you get out of high, graduate in the end of June, and it was the 7th of July, I was on my way to basic training. So, and then from there on, it was a good experience, though, especially since I met a beautiful girl there. So that was my life. We went to Elohim, which was in Castile at the time. I don't think it's there anymore. And like I say, Reverend Glaive was one of my teachers. So I had a contact there. I had to contact by going to Allegheny State Park as a counselor with my wife. So, almost like I know you. Like I said, I have 4 children. One girl lives in Texas. My 2 daughters live in Nunday. And of course, my son. Like I said, you all know him if you went to Cuba school. Coach Holmes. Taught him everything he knows about sports. That's why he's such a good coach. Had a lot of winning teams. And, but anyhow, my thrust was all us missions, but when we got back, like I said, my wife came ill with the Hep C and lived for a few years, and the Lord took her. So in that time, we started pastoring a church over at Ross, and we were there 20 years. I was there 20 years. And of course, Pat was there with me for the last few years. So, and now we're here.
Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord. Glory to God.
So. But missions was always our main thinking. And that was what we tried to do in any of the churches that we were involved in, was convince the people, you don't need a call to go to the mission field. You've been commanded to go. So many people say, I can't go, I haven't been called. Well, what's a calling? What's a calling? The Bible says, and you shall, that word shall is a big word, you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Judea, Jerusalem, and the uttermost part. That means foreign, when you talk about uttermost parts. We had a pastor came from Baptist Bible, I think he was with, or went to school with. A man, did he really emphasize that? That was his emphasis. We had missionary conferences, you wouldn't believe. But also we had young people coming to the church that you wouldn't believe. Afton had 3-4 Baptist Church, Methodist, Presbyterian, Episcopal. You had them all. And when he first came, all the churches got together for Vacation Bible School. And you had maybe from all those four churches, whatever it was, about a dozen, 15, 20 kids, somewhere around there. Well, he finally got permission from the higher-uppers in our home church and went independent as far as Vacation Bible School. And we didn't have room enough for the kids that came to Vacation Bible School. 100 kids was nothing. And Afton, little L. Afton itself is, I don't think it's as big as Cuba. If there was 1,000 people, that took in the whole township, not just the village. But we had kids running out there to school, church had buses, hauled them in, had a great time. But his thrust not only was reaching young people, it was missions. It was missions. Jack died just a little while ago, cancer, like so many other people, but he was a great pastor, and probably the biggest influence on my life in going into the missionary mission. I thought, I got 4 kids. How am I going to go to Bible school and mission fields and so forth? He said, Lord will supply. And come across this one who had been to Bible school, who came to our church, Elohim Bible Institute. That's for old married couples with families. That's what Elohim was all about. And you lived right there. Kids went to lecture school. It worked out real well. We graduated. First thing I did when I graduated from Elohim was to go into the ministry as a pastor after I was ordained. and Bristol Springs. That's up out in Naples, right on Canandaigua Lake. Not that we used the lake, but we did. But and we were there for a few years. It was a good experience, and it was from there that Edith came to that church to see if we would help her establishing a church, which we helped, and that church did get established. We were on Honeyoy, if you know where that is. It's up there in St. Clair. But they did. Every once in a while, I heard about neighbor. Oxford, New York, that's still in Shenango County, had church there and so forth. So, and lo and behold, my sister and her husband and brother-in-law, they were going there and said, you know, do you know these people? And he said, they know you as Carl Holmes. Wow, and they had to tell him that was his brother-in-law. So, it was Edith and her husband who had the church going there. So they enjoy it. So we have a contact. I think Christians have contacts like that. So, this brother-in-law I'm talking about, he's in the ministry too. Him and my sister. The first wife, who was my sister, died, and then they married mother's sister, so. But, couldn't get out of the family. But they have a ministry they do from home. They call it Bibles for Children. They've got letters, but boy, do they send out a lot of Bibles. Organizations, churches who need them, you know, they have their youth groups and stuff that need Bibles. All you got to do is let them, Bob, know, or they'll send you however many Bibles you want. But it's all from people's donations that this is done. Quite a ministry. But of course, they're both in their 90s now. So I don't know how much longer it'll last. But of course, he has a daughter who's helping out quite a lot too. So that's the Holmes family. You know, Carl's here in Cuba. Well, he's retired. That gets me though. He's too young to retire. 27 years at the school. Been able to retire. I haven't been able to retire yet. Anyhow, getting back to missions. Now, I think my purpose here today is to challenge you to missions. Not just the financial support, which is, of course, a necessity, in which I think you do that already. But, you know, a lot of times that ends up being just a calling. Got young people. That's what usually concentrate on young people about considering going into the ministry of some sort. Oh, I can't do that. It costs too much. I can't go to college and so forth. Oh, yeah, you can. I did. And I had four kids. Lord supplied. God has a place for anybody to do anything he wants them to do. That he wants. So, as I said, I have not chosen you, or you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, when that means chosen, and ordained you to go forth and present the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I don't know how to get it. I've never been called. You aren't going to get called. You've been commanded. to go and preach the gospel. The only thing you've got to find out is where. It might be right here.
Yeah.
I don't know. It can be in Timbuktu, Trinidad, anywhere in the world. But you got to be close to the Lord. You've got to have an open heart, an open mind to receive whatever God directs you to. People thought we were foolish, my wife and me and four kids. Had a good job, too. But I gave it up just to go into the ministry and have had a good. I had a beautiful, wonderful job. The pay isn't usually too good, but and as far as mission goes, you have to raise your own pay. You know that. You go around to different churches and they support you or not, depending on how they feel about it. But we went, my wife and I and four kids, to Elohim, and that we, wife and I, one and my son, Carl, went to Trinidad. He was the only young one left at home. And when we came back the first time, he stayed and we went back again. And that's when we went back and had to come home because of the hep C that my wife had. She was a great woman, great wife, great help. Boy, could she teach kids. Whoa. She knew more Bible stories than you can think about. And, you know, and visual aids and all that. Did a great job with kids on the mission field, too. And she was a big help. But God thought she had better things. He had better things for her. So he took her home. But, you see, God takes away, God gives. And gave me Pat. She's a wonderful wife.
Amen.
She doesn't even begin to think about replacing Dolores. She's there instead of.
Amen.
We love her. I love her. We have a great a great marriage. So that is what I have for you as far as the challenge is concerned. Have you, any of you, ever considered going into missionaries? Doesn't matter whether you're married or not, or how many kids you got. Have you ever considered it? I don't want an answer. You answer yourself. You answer yourself. Yeah. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's what missionaries are all about. Establishing local Bible-believing churches in foreign countries.
Amen.
Not going there, hitting them with the gospel, and get a few response and then go somewhere else. It's staying there, just like Pastor staying here, to help you as individuals to grow in the love and admonition of the Lord. That's true missions. And I thank God that as I come here to the church and I hear about missionaries here, missionaries, that's wonderful. Apparently you're already indoctrinated to them, which is good. And that's the greatest ministry that you have as a church is missions. Yeah, you're to be witnesses, starting in Jerusalem, starting here. But going from there to the uttermost parts of the world. See a lot of young couples here. What an opportunity you have. And I know it isn't easy to get started, but it's something for you to pray about. Lord, what would you have me to do to reach the world for Jesus Christ?
Yes, sir.
So I guess, with your permission, that's about all I can stand. I've had surgery. Brain surgery and back surgery, and still recuperating from that.
Amen.
I came home from the hospital just a year ago this month, but still hurts. My mind isn't what it used to be. They still got a little hole in my head, but I can drive. We really do get along real well. So.
Amen. Glory to God.
Thank you, brother. Yes, sir.
Still praise the Lord, still work for the Lord, even though part of the brain's missing and part of the back's missing. And we still got the cane.
Amen.
So,
amen.
Let's just close in prayer, shall we?
Amen.
Our gracious and wonderful Heavenly Father, we do thank you now for this opportunity of sharing. I'm sure, Lord, what's on your heart, what's on my heart, Matt's heart, the heart of the church. And Lord, just reach out to the world around with the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And thank you, Lord, for the privilege that you have given to everyone that's born again, privilege of representing Jesus in this world.